Hey everyone, it's Amber again, registered dietitian nutritionist with Synapse Center for Health and Healing, and we're here for another Taco Tuesday today. And today I was thinking maybe we could talk a little bit about sleep. An estimated 50 to 70 million Americans have some kind of issue with sleep, whether that's insomnia, poor quality sleep, difficulty staying asleep. And sleep is essential for our body to rest, to recover. Really, for us to perform all of our functions efficiently, both physically and mentally. And people often forget or maybe don't even realize that food and diet can have a huge impact on our quality of sleep. So the food choices that you make, as well as the timing of meals and snacks, can all play a big role in the quality of sleep that you're getting. So we'll start with the obvious, caffeine. I think everybody's aware that caffeine is an energy booster. That's why a lot of people drink it. Some of us just enjoy it. Enjoy that cup of coffee in the morning or the occasional cup of tea or anything like that. But most of those contain caffeine. And I'm certainly not here to tell you to avoid all caffeine. I think I'd probably lose a few people if I told you everybody needed to give up caffeine. And in fact, there's research to suggest that caffeine can be really helpful in some situations with cognitive health. But we do need to consider a couple of things. And one of them is how long caffeine stays in our body. So the half-life of caffeine is somewhere around 5 hours, 5 to 6 hours. And what that means is that if you have 200 milligrams of caffeine, that's about 2 cups of coffee at 10 a.m., then you'll still have half of that or 100 milligrams of caffeine in your system 5 hours later at about 3 p.m. And 5 hours after that, at 8 p.m., you're still going to have about 50 milligrams or half a cup of coffee in your system. So if you're thinking about that and you drink coffee even later in the day, like noon or even into the afternoon, then all of that effect of caffeine is going to last with your body longer as well. So if we are having caffeine, it's important for us to just consider if we're having issues with sleep, how late into the day are we having that cup of coffee, that glass of tea, even that soda? We're going to talk about those carbs and sugars here in just a second, as I always do. But it's important for us to think about how late in the day that caffeine is coming into play. Now, it's important for us to consider all of those sources of caffeine too. So I mentioned coffee, tea, soda. Energy drinks are another big one. Good thing to avoid in general. There's a few that are okay, but usually there's a better choice. And chocolate. We hear about chocolate and caffeine a lot. Chocolate does have a small amount of caffeine. It's unlikely to affect those who aren't highly sensitive to caffeine. It's not usually a substantial amount unless we're talking about like a chocolate mocha or something like that. And then we've got that double whammy of the espresso and the chocolate, so that can be a little bit higher. But if you've already addressed the obvious, let's say you've already looked at caffeine, you've already started to cut caffeine out, and you're still having issues with sleep, what else can you do? Well, there was this really great study that was published here just in the last week, couple of weeks, that looked at all the research that's out there right now regarding diet and sleep, and how do the things that we're eating affect the quality of sleep, the duration of sleep, how many times we're waking up, all of those pieces. And there's one thing that came up a lot, and that's carbohydrates. Now, the big piece here, the big factor to consider is that it's not necessarily intake of carbohydrates that's the problem. It's not the fact that you're eating carbohydrates. It's more the quality of carbohydrates that we eat that has an impact on our sleep. So what this means is if you're having whole grains, fruits, starchy vegetables, things like that, this is unlikely to negatively impact your sleep. And in fact, it can probably help you get a good quality night of rest. However, if a lot of your carb intake is coming from things like chips and crackers and candy and sugary beverages and some of our lower quality carbohydrates, this has a substantial association with poor sleep, both quality and duration. So That study that I was talking about that looked at all of the research that's been done out there and tried to pull it all together and come up with recommendations found that complex carbs, those good quality carbs like whole grains, veggies, things that are rich sources of fiber, combined with good sources of protein like beef and chicken and fish, but also beans or lentils, that combination of complex carbs and protein in a diet is really what seems to be associated with best quality sleep. So diets rich in healthy fat as well are associated with healthy or with good quality sleep. And that's really what we talked about last week. So the avocados, the oils, the olives, the nuts and seeds, that kind of stuff. So when we think about what diet is rich in these good healthy fats, also rich in complex carbs and quality protein, what it comes down to is a good Mediterranean style diet. And the nice thing about this is that it's not restrictive. It's not telling you to avoid or eliminate a lot of different foods. It does encourage you to reduce added sugars, those poor quality carbohydrates. But it really just focuses on getting good quality whole foods, healthy fats, lots of fiber, and good quality protein. So if you're looking for that kind of relatively simple diet to try, a Mediterranean diet can be a good place to look. Now, I mentioned that timing of meals can also play a role in your sleep, and eating too closely to bedtime can play a big role in poor sleep. However, if you have issues with blood sugar regulation, then not eating before bed can also poorly impact sleep. So for some people, having a small snack about 30 to 60 minutes before sleep can be really helpful. Foods that have research behind them that are particularly helpful are things like cherries and kiwi, which are natural sources of melatonin, which helps our sleep. And even malted milk has quite a bit of evidence behind it. So these are things that you can try pretty safely for most people. Now, again, if we think about that combination, it'd be good to have those foods with a little bit of protein too, since most of those are carbohydrates. Now, one little thing to think about is how much you're drinking close to bedtime. So trying to spread your fluids out throughout the whole day so we're not playing catch up in those couple of hours before sleep. Drinking too much right before bed can not only impact the number of times you're needing to wake up for those bathroom trips, but it can also trigger reflux or kind of that heartburn, indigestion, which can also affect the quality of sleep that we're getting. And of course, in addition to diet, it's important for us to look at other areas of whole health to improve sleep quality. So, do you have a good wind down routine? Are you limiting screen time? A good dark room? All of those types of things are important too. But that diet piece can be, I won't call it easy because diet change isn't always easy, but it can be one of the more simple things for us to look at. So always work with your care team before you start any kind of a supplement or an over-the-counter medication for sleep, because your body really might just need these little tweaks, these little adjustments to more fiber, maybe even a little bit more protein, maybe more healthy fat, maybe adjusting the timing of meals, snacks, and fluids before we start adding in those extra things. So you can start today just by looking at caffeine. How late in the day are you drinking those caffeine sources? What's the quality of carbohydrates that you're eating? Are you getting lots of fiber or are you getting more of that added sugar? And then if you need help adjusting your diet for those good quality nights of sleep for your specific unique body, you can always reach out to me here at Synapse. And you can find me either by going online to our website at Official Synapse, SYNAPSE, officialsynapse.com. You can click the little link in the upper right corner for a free discovery call and chat with either me or Dr. Natalie. Or you can call the clinic at 651-209-9906, so we can help set up a plan for you. Thanks again for coming to another Taco Tuesday. Reach out to us if you have any topics you'd like to discuss. Either call the radio station or reach out to me personally, and we're happy to talk about it. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week at Taco Tuesday.